Tonight, Money Trail. A hacked memo raises new questions about how the Clintons struck it rich as Hillary Clinton hits the trail with her not-so-secret weapon. Plus, the Trump campaign's plan to win by making voters want to stay home. Payout raids. The Secret Service agents protecting the candidates willing to take a bullet, so why aren't they getting paid for those extra hours? Calls for Congress to fix it. Dramatic standoff. Armed soldiers and police in riot gear clash with protesters at a tense pipeline standoff. Tonight, word of arrests. And scammers busted. Cameras capture the raid as authorities move in on a massive crime ring. Callers posing as IRS workers. Their threats tricking Americans into paying debts that didn't exist. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. 12 days to go until Election Day, and the latest drip of stolen emails has produced a fresh stain on the Clinton campaign tonight. This one written by a top aide to Bill Clinton that reveals the former president personally earned millions of dollars from donors and contacts made through the Clinton Charitable Foundation. While the email doesn't suggest anything illegal or name Hillary Clinton, it's been quickly seized on by Donald Trump. The Clinton campaign, however, continues to resist engaging on the email hacks, instead hoping to make this a day about a joint appearance with her most powerful advocate. We've got it all covered, beginning with NBC's Andrea Mitchell. Andrea, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Hillary Clinton's long-awaited appearance with Michelle Obama in all-important North Carolina, even as the campaign is trying to shake off one of the most damaging stolen emails released by WikiLeaks so far.
An unprecedented moment. Two first ladies, current and former, campaigning together for the first time.
Seriously, is there anyone more inspiring than Michelle Obama?
And putting to rest any echoes of past rivalries.
If people wonder, yes, Hillary Clinton is my friend. She is absolutely ready to be commander-in-chief on day one. And yes, she happens to be a woman. First ladies, we rock.
Reaching out to women, young people, minorities, with an emotional appeal for them to vote against Donald Trump.
When you hear folks talking about a global conspiracy and saying that this election is rigged, understand that they are trying to get you to stay home. They are trying to convince you that your vote doesn't matter. Are you with me? I can't hear you. Are we going to do this?
But their joint appearance competing for headlines with the latest stolen email leaked by WikiLeaks, not verified by NBC News, describing how Bill Clinton personally profited, receiving millions of dollars in speaking and consulting fees from Clinton Foundation donors. Former Bill Clinton aide Doug Bann writing a 2011 memo calling it Bill Clinton, Inc. We have dedicated ourselves to helping the president secure and engage in for-profit activities, including speeches, books, and advisory service engagements. In all, Bann says he secured more than $50 million for the former president, but no indication Hillary Clinton ever did anything for those donors when she was Secretary of State. Still reinforcing suspicions long held about the Clintons.
I think they should have disassociated themselves from the Clinton Foundation the minute she became Secretary of State. I don't think it's a smoking gun. I don't think there's any evidence of pay to play.
The Clinton campaign's hope? It's not the hacked memo, but Michelle Obama's message that will drive people to the polls. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Hallie Jackson in Ohio, where Donald Trump's pouncing on those new stolen emails released by WikiLeaks.
Mr. Band called the arrangement unorthodox. The rest of us call it outright corrupt.
The hits on the Clintons.
We should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having it for? Her policies are so bad.
Part of Trump's final stretch strategy that includes trying to tamp down turnout. Sources in and around the campaign describe discouragement tactics to demotivate specific groups who might otherwise vote for Clinton, like African Americans and the Bernie bloc of younger white progressives.
But the Trump campaign has given up on winning over these people, and so they're betting that they can turn people off from voting altogether, and we don't have any evidence that that works.
Sasha Eisenberg in Bloomberg Business Week says the strategy includes using targeted Facebook attack ads, pointing out it's a recognition Trump's movement isn't big enough to win a majority. Publicly, Trump's campaign insists there's no voter suppression happening, pointing to his new urban renewal plan, adding, "We want everyone who can legally vote to show up." Privately, GOP sources familiar with the strategy acknowledge if they can keep the other side from a strong showing, it gives them a shot. But it won't work if their own base doesn't turn out. That's partly why Trump's getting his wife more involved, with Melania Trump sounding surprised to hear it.
She's actually going to make two or three speeches. And I will tell you.
It is right there.
Okay. Oh, it is. It's. She's amazing when she speaks.
Clinton still has the easier electoral path. Trump within the margin of error in key battlegrounds. But no room for error.
There is no room for error here. There are not multiple paths. If there is a path, it is a very messy one and in a very narrow one.
And late tonight, a scary moment for Donald Trump's running mate, Mike Pence. His plane landing at LaGuardia Airport in New York skid off the runway. No injuries have been reported. Everybody's okay. But the airport is shut down. We are told that Governor Pence, after it happened, came back to the back of the plane to speak with reporters, said he knew something was wrong when he saw mud splashed on the cockpit windshield. Donald Trump, a spokesman says, on his motorcade on his way here to Geneva, Ohio, called Governor Pence to make sure he was okay, saying he's glad that everybody is safe. Lester?
Allie Jackson tonight, thank you. Now to the dramatic standoff unfolding this evening in North Dakota, on the ground and in the air. Armed soldiers and police in riot gear and military Humvees clashing with protesters refusing to clear private land and determined to stop the construction of a pipeline. It's been a very tense day. Fire set, tires slashed, highways blocked. And now there's word of arrests. We get late details from NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
Tonight near Cannonball, North Dakota, this is the tense face-off between an army of police and Native American protesters blocking Highway 1806, trying to shut down construction of a controversial oil pipeline on private land. Officers in armored vehicles wearing riot gear are pouring in with air support. Battle lines drawn, now making arrests.
We're trying to avoid the confrontation, but they drew the line in the sand today.
After setting fires and blocking the bridge in the path of the pipeline, months of tension have escalated. Some promise a fight to the end.
There's no fear here. We know that we have the moral high ground and that we're doing what's right.
The nearly complete Dakota Access Oil Pipeline will cross four states, connecting North Dakota and Illinois with some 1,200 miles of pipe, a $3.8 billion project capable of transporting 570,000 barrels of oil a day.
We're going to take our stand. We're staying here.
The pipeline runs adjacent to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, where Native Americans say the project is destroying sacred sites and could pollute the Missouri River, a clean water source for millions.
This is about protecting water, and that's a good thing. It needs to be protected.
With nearly 300 arrests since August, the protest has become a movement, said to be the largest gathering of Native Americans in modern history. Tonight, no comment from the oil company as celebrities and activists arrive in North Dakota, vowing to fight on while facing arrests and a growing army of police. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Now to the sexual allegations that are rocking one of the nation's top colleges. Today, prosecutors filed more charges against a student at the University of Wisconsin. And we're hearing from his attorney for the first time about what police call a disturbing discovery in his apartment. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has details for us from Madison.
20-year-old Alec Cook walked into a Wisconsin courtroom today facing new charges, now 15 counts involving five women, including sexual assault, strangulation, and false imprisonment. His attorney denies them all and says the encounters were consensual.
Our client has been essentially slaughtered by the social media image of him.
Here people. It is.
Chris Van Wagner revealed what he says is a page from the black book police found at Cook's apartment with names of women he'd met. The search warrant said it included disturbing statements of kill and sexual desires, but Van Wagner argues that's a stretch, and this scribbled word, killed, is no proof his client stalked anyone.
You tell me what it means. It doesn't appear to mean anything.
Prosecutors say the allegations date back to March of last year. The first woman who went to police said Cook choked and assaulted her for more than 2 hours at his apartment on October 12th. Then, as news of his arrest spread around the University of Wisconsin, more women came forward, one of them claiming Cook inappropriately touched her repeatedly in a ballroom dance class.
What is most disturbing about this case?
I think it's, you know, probably the sheer number of victims.
Erin Thornley Parisi runs the Dane County Rape Crisis Center, which is counseling at least one of the women.
He individually got to know the women for the purpose of sexually assaulting them.
In high school in Minnesota, Cook played the guitar and was voted class clown. He had no criminal record other than an arrest for underage drinking.
And he's been painted as the face of evil in Madison and now across the entire nation, across the globe. That's wrong.
The judge here today set Cook's bail at $200,000. He remains banned from campus. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. It's been an unusually taxing year for the U.S. Secret Service. So many candidates, so many events, so much provocative speech. And adding to the strain on the agents is this. Many of them are not getting paid for all the overtime they're putting in. There are calls for Congress to fix it. We get the story from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
It's not a 9-to-5 job safeguarding presidential candidates on the road and keeping alert for potential trouble in boisterous crowds, not to mention the core mission of protecting a sitting president. Unlike most federal employees, Secret Service agents do get overtime, but a third of them maxed out months ago at about $160,000 because of salary caps they've been putting in brutally long hours with no extra pay.
There's no reward to the family. You're not seeing any income coming in out of it. All the things that are broken in the house aren't getting fixed, so there's a major morale issue for that.
The numbers are staggering. Agents are now protecting 26 people, the current president, the candidates and their families, four former presidents, and some other top U.S. officials. And they've provided security at more than 7,000 events here and overseas this year, screening more than 8 million people. This year's been especially taxing. The political conventions, the UN General Assembly, and a year of unusually harsh rhetoric, with threatening images displayed openly, some of them seeming to advocate violence, and a hiring freeze limiting the number of agents.
As many of them have told me, they'll take a bullet for the president. And if they'll take a bullet for the president, we ought to be able to properly compensate them.
Some in Congress are now working on a fix so that Secret Service agents won't have to work overtime for nothing. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Still ahead here this evening, caught on camera, the takedown on a massive phone scam. Thousands of Americans ripped off to the tune of $300 million. How you can avoid the same kind of fate. We're following some breaking news here right now. Let's go to NBC's Gotti Schwartz for details.
Yeah, a bombshell verdict coming out of Oregon as a federal jury has exonerated seven defendants who occupied an Oregon wildlife refuge for 41 days. Just moments ago, a celebration outside of federal court as brothers Eamon and Ryan Bundy and five others were found not guilty by a jury. Their armed occupation grabbing national headlines for weeks and culminating in a tent surrender and a chase in which one occupier was shot and killed by law enforcement. There are also reports that the Bundy's attorney was tackled and tased while the verdict was read in court after shouting that his client should be released immediately. Now back to Lester Holt in New York.
Federal prosecutors today charged 61 people in this country and overseas with running a scam that featured callers pretending to be from the IRS demanding money. Authorities say it was wildly successful, tricking more than 15,000 people out of hundreds of millions of dollars. We get the story from NBC's Stephanie Gosk.
Hi.
Marcy Ralph of Brookville, Maryland, vividly remembers the call, a message saying she owed money and threatening legal action.
In that moment, it's pretty scary.
Investigators say hers was one of millions like this one.
This call is officially a final notice from IRS, Internal Revenue Service. The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you.
This Southern California woman who didn't want to be identified said she paid up after being told she'd be arrested.
They were filing action against me and that I was going to have law enforcement dispatched to my place of business.
This criminal network used a variety of schemes to trick frightened individuals over the phone by tapping into their worst fears.
The calls came, investigators say, from a call center in Ahmedabad, India. On the other end, they say, two dozen people in eight states arrested today and charged with collecting the money and sending it back to the scammers in India. In all, the Justice Department says the scheme victimized 15,000 people in the U.S. and took in more than $300 million.
These scammers in this case, and in so many cases like this, are convincing. They are menacing and they are ruthless in their pursuit of their victims.
India says it's cracking down, too, arresting dozens earlier this month, accused of running a nearly identical scam. The important thing, say federal officials, is that the government will never call you on your phone asking for cash. If you get a call like that, just hang up. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
When we come back, is this what your laptop has been missing? The new feature Apple just unveiled that has a lot of people talking. Votes in less than 2 weeks, the Clinton campaign is banking on strong support from African-American voters. But a closer look reveals the vote among black millennials is far from assured. NBC's Kristen Welker has the latest in our series, Red, White, and You.
I can't mention, they said, go ahead.
There's harmony inside the Jackson home in West Philadelphia, but not when it comes to politics.
Raise your hand if you are really enthusiastically voting for Clinton.
Jordan's an undergrad at Temple University. James Jr. is in grad school. He supported Bernie Sanders and is still blunt in his appraisal of Clinton now.
I think there's a lack of authenticity when it comes to Hillary Clinton.
She can't always relate, you know, to me personally.
For Grandmom Gertrude Wilmer, who fought in the civil rights movement, it's an easy choice.
I honestly believe that she would work for everybody, every race.
But just how many African-American millennials will show up to vote could have an impact, even with Clinton's dominance with black voters. Over 25% of African-Americans are between 18 and 34.
I'm hoping that somewhere we can spark some enthusiasm in that gap.
The Clinton campaign has struggled to connect with voters under 30, and it's been even tougher to reach young African Americans whose turnout spiked with the election of Barack Obama in 2008, but dipped in 2012.
Our votes are valuable, and so you have to step up for them.
And Clinton's use of the label super predators when she was first lady in 1996.
They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators.
Still stings, even though she has retracted it and apologized. St. Louis activist Brittany Packnett had reservations about Clinton, but recently endorsed her.
It will be critically important that we hold her accountable to issues of police violence, mass incarceration, and really ending that cycle.
You're not going to go third party. Why?
Honestly, out of fear that Donald Trump would gain the seat.
They've settled on Clinton largely out of opposition to Donald Trump and acknowledge the history that will be made if she wins. Kristen Welker, NBC News, West Philadelphia.
More interesting changes from Apple tonight after that big announcement that the new iPhone would not have a headphone jack. Now the new MacBook is losing something as well. The row of function keys at the top of the keyboard will be replaced by a touch bar that adapts to whichever app you're using, speeding up certain tasks. There's even an emoji toolbar for when you're sending messages. When we come back, how the spooky holiday and the race for president are colliding in neighborhoods around the nation. Finally tonight, with both Halloween and the election just around the corner, many neighbors are decorating their homes this year to make a political statement, and it's giving a whole new meaning to election scare tactics. Here's Kevin Tibbles.
Watch out, kids. Halloween's going to be very scary. While you trick-or-treat, politicians have their hands out for votes. From Montana to Michigan. The Boneyard at Nina Horowitz's Los Angeles home is filled with her political poltergeist.
Trump is scary, and it's Halloween.
But in Ohio, Hillary's the spooky one, at least on one front lawn. The Trump train derails the Clinton platform. And in Connecticut, there's the wall.
My big goal on this is to get people to think.
Well, Matt Warschauer is definitely doing that. This professor of American history is so fed up, his annual display is a monument to the ghouls and goblins of politics.
So, in order to get to the candy,
you got to have a passport. Do you have your passport with you, Kevin?
To get the candy?
To get the candy.
He's featured Bernie behind bars, Hillary riding a donkey, and his personal nemesis, Donald Trump, blowing smoke.
Is this the scariest Halloween house you've ever seen?
Well, he's the scariest
presidential candidate I've ever seen.
What's scarier for you, Halloween or politics?
Politics.
For Fright Night this year, carving up pumpkins and politicians. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, West Hartford, Connecticut.
And that's going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.